On most Saturday mornings, my brother Billy and I would wake to my dad's voice. Get in the car. It was Darth Vader with a Boston accent. The tone, the breathing, the dramatic pause, followed by the sudden sweeping exit. My dad didn't need the helmet and cape. He had the attitude. He was 6 feet tall, average height, but seemed like a giant to us. He had the same weathered Irish-American looks that most other dads in Norwood, Massachusetts had, but he had an extra brooding intensity. The kind that comes in handy when you're leading a galactic empire through fear and intimidation, or trying to get two young boys to wake up early on a weekend morning and get in the car. Billy and I would immediately scramble downstairs and get into the back seat of Dad's Dodge Dart. Back then, seatbelts were optional, by law and by custom. Even if you did get those lap belts on, they fit pretty loosely. So if your dad took a left, you went sliding all the way over to the right. Then when he took a right, you slid back to the middle. We felt perfectly safe, even though we probably wouldn't have survived a minor accident. My dad would drive in silence, always leaving us to wonder where we might be going. We were never told, and we knew better than to ask. We wondered, would it be to the site of the Boston Massacre? A walk on the deck of Old Ironsides? A climb up the steeple of the Old North Church? Perhaps a stroll along the Freedom Trail? Clearly, our excursions tended to involve the Revolutionary War, but it wasn't because my dad was some kind of colonial buff. We lived in New England in 1976, and everyone was stricken with bicentennial fever. It seemed that we had been celebrating this event for my whole childhood, actually. Every town was preparing for its own bicentennial celebration, and in school we would perform bicentennial plays, sing bicentennial songs, and paint bicentennial dinner plates. I heard the word almost daily, but I was unclear on what it actually meant. To me, it was just synonymous with Revolutionary War. One day in our third grade class, our teacher, Miss Barnacle, asked Brian Radicus, in what war did the Minutemen fight? And he answered, the Bicentennial. As everyone laughed and Miss Barnacle scolded him for his ignorance, I remember thinking that I might have given the same answer. On those Saturday trips with Dad, Billy and I always enjoyed whatever historical exhibit we visited, but getting there was a challenge. Car sickness ran deep in our family. My mother did not believe in drug therapy for this condition. She believed that the main cause of motion sickness was the presence of too much visual stimuli. Her solution was to simply make us all wear sunglasses in the car, so she kept many of her old pairs in great supply in the glove compartment. She would pass them out and instruct each of us to put them on whenever we traveled, which was supposed to keep us from looking out the windows and getting dizzy. I'm not sure how well this worked, but if we ever did complain of nausea, my mother would never blame her remedy. She always blamed our behavior. Sit still and let the glasses do their work, she would scream. When the car would stop at a rest area, all of us would pile out gasping for air and dripping in cold sweat, but all wearing oversized lady sunglasses. We must have looked like we were in the witness protection program. Complaining was really not an option when traveling with my dad. So my brother and I would try to sit in the back seat and grind out the nausea as best we could. It didn't help that we were always hungry, probably because we had been woken up Vader-style before dawn. Despite the fact that our stomachs were technically empty, we always had something down there from dinner the night before that we could manage to throw up. There would be no warning. My dad would be driving along, deep in thought, as Billy and I in the back seat were slowly turning yellow in the face. All of a sudden, there was a splashing sound on the floor mats. He would silently pull over to the side of the road, and we'd all get out to assess the damage. My brother or I would shake off our clothes as best we could. The rest would dry and fall off on the way up Bunker Hill, while my dad would take handfuls of dirt from the roadside and shake it over the mess on the floor mats, covering it with a layer of dust. Of course, none of this masked the smell. It just turned the wet vomit into dirty vomit. But it was a good try. Real American ingenuity at work.